You know, so many Bible stories that we have looked at throughout the Bible and in the book of Genesis have been stories that I've kind of, at the end of the sermon, I've said to you, well, I know I haven't brought, or I thought anyway, you know, a real exciting, wonderful, happy story that instead many of the scriptures of the Bible, many of the stories of the Bible leave us with a sense of pain somewhat and struggle and wondering and recognizing the faults of the human race. I mean, we can do that pretty well when we look in the Bible. It's not like when you study your Bible, you come away from it with this great excitement out of every story, how wonderful people are. In fact, we come out of it seeing the heart of man, sometimes the sinful heart of man, and sometimes the weak side of man. Sin in that we miss the mark of what God wants for us. Sometimes it's worse than that, and intentions and so forth. But there are a lot of stories in the Bible like that, and we look at them. And I have done my best to never say as a preacher, kind of glorify people in the Bible whose lives really are full of pain. They're more like our lives in many ways. But then we also come to some stories where we think, boy, isn't this a great story? This is really something that makes us feel different. It lifts us up. It encourages us. It helps us to see the good. And tonight, I just want to let you know that we're at one of those stories. So I'm looking forward to coming back to the story of Joseph in chapter 41. It's been a while. We've kind of been in and out of Genesis and Joseph for several months, and it's going to be that way. It's like every other Sunday night, there's something else going on, kind of, or at least a few like that. We will not be having a service here next Sunday night because of district assembly. And so just want to let you know that it's kind of the one time a year we don't have a service on Sunday night, and many of us will be down at district assembly next week, and so we're looking forward to that. And if the Lord lays it on your heart and you want to visit another church, it'd be a great time to do that if you want to, or maybe gather some people around you and pray together or whatever God would lay on your heart, but don't lose the opportunity to worship the Lord, whether you do it by yourself or you do it with some other people. But next Sunday night we'll be away. And then the following Sunday morning, David Wilson will be with us. David Wilson is one of our denominational leaders. He's a general secretary of the Nazarene denomination. He's a man with a great heart, and he's a pastor at heart, but he's also a leader of our church. And it's a great privilege to have him come. I feel honored that he would come to our church. He's actually here to perform Shane's wedding ceremony. And he also will preach on Sunday morning for us. But next, or 2 weeks, that's 2 weeks from today, is going to be a special time. And I think you'll enjoy hearing from one of our denominational leaders. We have six superintendents and a general secretary, and they're kind of our seven denominational leaders. And I'm really looking forward to David coming and preaching the word and maybe sharing with us a little bit about the Church of the Nazarene from a world perspective and kind of in his work and so forth. Just look forward to that ministry. We will be together that night, and then, as I said, the next few weeks, like they've been the last few weeks, there's something going on somewhere, but it kind of changes from time to time. Well, tonight I want to invite you back to Genesis chapter 41, and we're going to pick up the story of Joseph at this point in his life after 30 years of relative misery, where all of a sudden something breaks into Joseph's life, and it goes from being very painful and very difficult and very challenging to God giving him a great opportunity. Not that in the midst of the challenges and the pain and the struggle, God hasn't been working also in Joseph's life. The reality is God is real in every day of our lives, whether they're good days or bad days. God can speak to us in every day of our lives. I don't know who's waving back there, but somebody's walking by and waving. So the reality is God is just as real in the difficult days of your life as the good days of your life. And Joseph's story kind of reminds me of that. You know, not every day for us are good days. And hopefully not every day is a bad day. We're going to have some of both. Hopefully more good than bad. But I want you to know that God is so real, and he's real in the hard times as well as the good times. And I'm thankful to say that about Joseph. Several weeks ago, we read about Joseph's interpreting Joseph or Pharaoh's dreams, and how Pharaoh immediately recognized something in Joseph, maybe because of his great wisdom, maybe because he was able to interpret his dream, and maybe he saw leadership, maybe he sensed the character of Joseph and his ability. But boy, Pharaoh lays his hand on Joseph right away and says, "Joseph, you're the man. You're the one who's going to lead us. You're the one that's going to take this country through this process and this time that God has said is going to be a disastrous time after 7 years." And so Pharaoh lifts up Joseph, and God lifts up Joseph. God lifts him up out of slavery and out of being falsely accused and out of being forgotten. And God brings together these circumstances to give Joseph something that's a great gift in his life. And through it all, what did Joseph keep? Joseph kept his faith, and Joseph kept his character. He never stopped believing in God and trusting God. What a lesson from Joseph's life. When he was thrown into the pit, when he was falsely accused, when he was forgotten, every time, what do we read about Joseph? He's calling out to God, and God is calling back to him. And his character, we see that he maintained his character in times where he could have been tempted not to. And on the other side, we know that God kept his eye on Joseph. He wasn't alone, and we're told that. Rearranging my things a little bit, the wind up here is really nice. I love it, frankly, but I will have to keep things from blowing all over the place up here. So if I get distracted a little bit. Well, finally, at the age of 30, Joseph finds a great place of trust and influence. Then Pharaoh said in verse 39, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." The thing I notice about this verse is, since God, I mean, this is Pharaoh talking. This is a pagan, a Gentile, a man who had a lot of Egyptian gods. Egyptians had a lot of gods. But somehow, he saw in Joseph that he worshiped the true God. And I think in our culture today, and all the stuff that's out there, people recognize genuine faith. Don't forget that. People recognize when your heart is full of love for God and for people, and they see that and they know it. And they recognize genuine faith. And Pharaoh recognized genuine faith in Joseph. So we have Pharaoh's acknowledgement of the hand of God. And so because of that, what does Pharaoh do? He gives Joseph a new name. Zaphnath-Paneah. Glad we don't have to say that too many times fast. The one who reveals mysteries. That seems to be a pretty logical name that he gave him. He's the one that reveals mysteries. Also, Pharaoh gives authority to Joseph. He gives him his signet ring. The ring was so significant to authority and power and lawmaking and directing people. I mean, to give Pharaoh to give Joseph the ring was to give away part of that authority of Pharaoh himself and say, "Now you are Pharaoh, you are king. You make the decisions. I give you that authority to do that." Other things that we won't mention, I did before anyway, but he gives to Joseph the ability to make laws. He also gives Joseph a high place of honor. It says there that he took him in his own chariot and he drove him around, and everywhere he went, they said, "Make way, make way." It was Pharaoh's way of saying to everybody in the kingdom, "This man here is in charge, and you will give him the same respect as you give to me." He also gave him an Egyptian wife, Asenath. And again, Egyptian wife for Joseph. This would have been a gift to Pharaoh. And Joseph does become her husband and later has children. We'll read that in a little bit. But all these things just show us the great trust that Pharaoh had in Joseph. Joseph's character and Joseph's life have come together to this moment, his faithfulness, and God has rewarded them and blessed him. Now go to verse 41 of chapter 41. And let's read the text tonight. Chapter 41, verse 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word no one will lift hand or foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife, and Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in these 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the field surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household. The second son he named Ephraim and said, it is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my sufferings. The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph and do what he tells you. When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. The first thing that I notice, and I referred to it a few minutes ago, is the complete authority that Pharaoh gives to Joseph. This really is an incredible story. Pharaoh recognizes several things here. Number one, he recognizes that God has spoken. I mean, he believes that God, the true God, has spoken to him. Number two, he recognizes the urgency of the famine. He believes what God has said. I mean, Pharaoh is as convinced as Joseph is that what God has said in this dream is going to happen. He also has this total trust in Joseph. I mean, Pharaoh had this dream. I don't know how long it's been since you've had a dream, and it has seemed so real. I don't know if God has spoken to you through a dream. I know that many people that I have talked to, and some in this church, have talked to me about dreams that they've had and how they believe they know that God spoke to them through a dream. Well, here is this pagan, Pharaoh, who knew in his heart that God had spoken to him. It was real. Joseph, he believed, was connected to that God. It's amazing to me how the faith and character of Joseph gets transferred, if you would, to the faith of Pharaoh. And through Joseph, Pharaoh believes in God. That just reminds me that your faith can have a great influence on the people around you. When people see that you really believe in God and your life has integrity, they also will be drawn to God. That's part of the faith that God calls us to have of salt and light in the world around us. Don't underestimate your faith. Don't minimize or say, I don't have influence. The truth is you do have influence by the level of your faith. It will draw people to God or it will push people away from God. Joseph had a kind of faith that Pharaoh saw and believed in and he embraced. The second thing about this story that gets my attention is that Joseph was a man of action. Joseph not only knew God, believed God, and trusted God, and had great character, but Joseph had something else. He was a man who took the steps that God laid on his heart to accomplish the things that he did. It all translated down to his actions. And Pharaoh says, recognizing that of Joseph, without your word, no one in all of Egypt will lift their hand or feet. I love that expression. Let me read it again. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all of Egypt. You know, that's the strength of the confidence that Pharaoh had in the character and the ability and the connectedness that Joseph had with God. I mean, Pharaoh said to me, Joseph, you're God. You're representing God. He didn't call him God, but it's like he represented everything that Joseph believed. And that's what a high level of trust, complete trust that Pharaoh had in Joseph. Well, looking at Joseph's plan, you might call it his management plan. He was a good manager, had to be. To organize all that Joseph did successfully, just imagine all that's not written in the chapter about this story and all the things that he had to do and organize and appoint and make decisions about his plan. The first thing I notice about the plan of Joseph is that he traveled the land. It says in verse 46 that he traveled the land. Let me find it here. It says, and Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. What does that tell me about Joseph? Number one is that Joseph was watching. Joseph was observing. Joseph was measuring. Joseph was looking to see who could be trusted and what needed to be done. He was very thorough. When I look at this example, Joseph didn't stay back at the palace and put his feet up on the couch and give orders with that signet ring and say, okay, go do this, go do that. He was out there looking and watching and ministering and seeing what needed to be done and responding to it. That probably makes a great manager. He traveled the land. It says that he collected grain for 7 years. The consistency of that. Probably the number of people who had no idea why. I mean, for 7 years, Joseph does this, and maybe they all caught the vision. I don't know. Certainly Pharaoh did, but my guess is, you know, from my experience with people, not everybody maybe catches the same vision at the same time of why we do certain things, you know? And they might wonder, well, why are they doing that? Or they didn't think about that. Or that change, that's not how we used to do it, or whatever. But, you know, when you do something new and different, I mean, think of what that Joseph is doing. He's saying, okay, guys, this is all you can eat of your grain. You got to bring the rest into the storehouse. And they thought, well, why in the world do we have to do that? Egypt hasn't had a famine in 500 years or whatever, I'm guessing. But, you know, I can just see Joseph going down to, or going up to southern Egypt, as they call it. You know, it's backwards when you're in Egypt of what's south and north and, you know, upper Egypt and lower Egypt. Anyway, I can just imagine he traveled the whole land and he goes into these areas that they don't have Pharaoh visit very often. And they have this guy coming in on the wind and has the ring and the robe and they're all supposed to bow down to him. And he says, okay, we're going to do it different this year. When you get your grain, you're going to bring almost all of it in and put it in the storehouse. You're going to store it. And they had to wonder why. Well, what are we doing this for? But Joseph was consistent, and for 7 years he did that. We don't read that there was conflict or people didn't want to do it. They may have not, I don't know. But all we know is Joseph did what he did, and the people did what they were told to do, and Joseph was very consistent. He did not allow the abundance to dilute his resolve. He was told by God what was going to happen. And even though it looked like God could have been wrong, I mean, for 7 years, some of us might have said, well, in the third year, hey, maybe God, you know, he said there's going to be a famine in 7 years, but man, it's just been good for 75 years, and the first 3 years, there's no change. Maybe God's just trying to wake us up a little bit, or God just wants us to be careful, or God wants us to have a different attitude, or whatever it is. But, you know, Joseph believed that God said 7 years, and so 7 years it was. He didn't allow the abundance to dilute his resolve. And I think of all the things that God allows in our lives. Do we ever allow the gifts of God and the the material blessings that God gives us to dilute us from the things that He calls us to as Christians in a needy world, in a world of people that are hurting. When I think of what Joseph could have been distracted by, he stayed on task. He kept on task. I also notice about his plan that he put the food in every city. I think, boy, that was pretty wise. Instead of bringing it all into wherever it would have been at the time. Every field had a shed. Every city had a barn. Every place had a location that they could bring it. I think how wise that was. He was telling the people, this is yours. He wasn't saying this belongs to the federal government. This doesn't belong to the reserves of the government. He said this belongs to the people of Egypt. And how wise he was to do that. They were to bring their grain. They could almost see it. And even though they didn't understand why, they could see the plan. They could, probably didn't understand why, but it wasn't like they took their stuff and, got on the train to Cairo or whatever. It was right there. That was very wise, I think, of him to do that. Every city, in other words, he was careful. He spread out the abundance to the whole country. I imagine that gave confidence to the people. I imagine it gave some sense of trust to them that this guy's not taking our grain. This guy believes that we're going to have a famine, and he is saving our grain, and it will be there. They could see his plan. They could see that he was in charge, but that would also tell me that he had to communicate pretty well. He had to be a good communicator for them to understand and to do that. He never stopped. He never slowed down the 7 years. It had to seem very strange to them, but he never stopped. I do notice one thing that he stopped. He stopped counting the grain. You notice that it says there that there was so much grain that came in. Verse 49, Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Two things about that. He stopped keeping because of beyond measure. It's like, the lists were getting so long and the people may have been saying, why are we still doing this? So Joseph, he just stops counting. You know what Joseph was doing? He was showing incredible faith in God. He was saying, God, you said for 7 years it would be like that. So I don't even have to know how much grain there is. God, you gave direction. And I'm going to listen to what you do. I don't have to count. All I have to do is follow you. I think sometimes in life, we've got to put the post in. We've got to put the roots down and say, God, I'm going to follow you whether I understand exactly what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. Joseph had that ability to do that. I think he had incredible faith, and I think that's very interesting. The only thing he stopped doing was counting. Believing God. He didn't need to count. I believe Joseph kind of had that mind. God's doing the counting. God can count to seven. God knows exactly how many bushels of grain it's going to take to feed everybody in Egypt for 7 years. God knows how many people are going to come from the nations around and ask to purchase grain. God knows exactly 442.3 million barrels. God knows exactly what was needed in Egypt. All Joseph had to do is follow the leading of God and trust God that God knew what he was doing and it would be taken care of. Another way to think of it like this, might hit home to some of us. Joseph was saying, God's going to do the counting, but something else Joseph was saying is, God, I'm going to let you do the worrying. I'm going to let you worry about it. We're not sure what's going to happen or which way it's going to go or how it's going to be resolved or what the answer is going to be. So we kind of tend to be obsessed with it and maybe driven by it and holding on to it and afraid about it. And what does Joseph do? He says, God, that's up to you. This is your plan. This is your 7 years. So God, I'm simply going to obey you and follow your leading. And he just continued to do that. He was able to show great faith. God had given Joseph the plan. Joseph didn't need to prove the plan. He didn't need to go around and say, see, this is what God said is going to happen here year after year. All he needed to do is follow what God led him to do. And he did it with an incredible trust, an incredible ability to believe that God would do it. Joseph was faithfully storing up grain until God brought the famine. Just simply bringing it in, bringing it in, bringing it in, waiting for God to do what God was going to do. You might have wondered, well, why in the world do we need a famine? You know? Now, I want to go back here to, well, maybe I'll move on to another verse, and then I want to come back to a point. Verse 51 says, Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh, said, it's because God has made me forget all my troubles and my father's household. That's what he named his first son. Still believing in God, still acknowledging the pain, he said again, let me read it again. It is because God has made me forget all my troubles and my father's household. Joseph says, God's given me a new life. He's helped me to forget my family. That seems like a strange thing. He's helped me to forget my family. The pain is still very deep here. It's strong. Joseph can't forget his family, but God's helped him. And he accepts this son as being God saying to him and giving him this gift about his household. Because I bring that point up now because I'm thinking as he's waiting patiently for the plan of God, he's not thinking about why God needs to bring this famine to Egypt. In fact, I don't know that he ever questions why. I mean, if he believes that God can give him 7 years of abundant harvest, I'm sure he believes that God could give him another 100 years. But why did God do 7 years? Well, we know because we read the story, we know that it was because someday there would be hungry people in Palestine, his family, who would be so hungry that the father would say, go down to Egypt and see if you can buy grain to the brothers. God was working way back in the dream of Pharaoh. Joseph couldn't have known that either. See, he said, you gave me a son to help me forget. But God never forgot. God was working in the story because someday he knew that the people in Palestine would be hungry and it would cause them to come down and live in Egypt. And God would protect them there. And the story continues of how God is working and weaving his hand on his people in time and history. He actually had two sons. The first one, Manasseh, and I've read, God's helped me to forget. Go to that one, if you would, that slide of Manasseh and Ephraim. The second son, Ephraim, God has made me, and one translation says, God has made me twice fruitful. That's what he names his second son, twice fruitful. The first son is God's helped me to forget. The second son, he says, God has made me twice fruitful. And of course, these two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, were blessed later by Jacob. And 370 years later or so, when they come up out of Egypt and they go up to Israel and Joshua is dividing the land and saying who goes where, part of the land is given to the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. God is seeing the future, and he's working in the plans of the future as well. I think this plan worked because of two generalities here. Number one, this whole plan and this dream worked because God did his part. God did his part. He gave Pharaoh the dream. He gave Joseph the ability to interpret it. He called this man Joseph, who had the faith and the courage and the ability, the character to do what he did. You might say, for this story, it worked because God did his part. And then we also could say it worked because Joseph did his part. He held his faith. He held his character. He was obedient in everything that God gave him to do. And so God blessed them. You know, I've heard this phrase so many times, and I've repeated it many times, that we need to pray as if it all depends on God, and we need to work as if it all depends on us. I know some people don't like that. There's Christian pastors who don't like that idea. Maybe you do or you don't. I don't know. But the concept, anyway, I hope you understand what I'm saying, is it all depends on God. And it all depends on us and our obedience. And this combination of the character of Joseph and the hand of God is beautiful in this story. I think of the incredible harvest that took place. You know, man couldn't do that. You know, God and the wind and the sunshine and the annual flooding in Egypt and whatever diseases did not come. Only God could do all that. On the other hand, the 7 years of storing up was something that man did. Joseph led by his guidance and his leadership. And this story is just shows us that God does what God will do. And God calls us to do what we can do to be faithful. And then the third thing you might say is the confidence of Pharaoh. If it wasn't for that, it wouldn't have worked either. Boy, did Pharaoh have great confidence in Joseph. And that's a neat part of the story too. The last verse, and then it will lead us to chapter 42, of course, says, "And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world." God knew what was coming next. God knew that the time would come when the next part of the story would take place. Joseph couldn't have anticipated, Pharaoh couldn't have anticipated it, but God knew what was going to happen. One more thing, and I think I skipped over that verse, but it says, go back to that last one. It says, "When all Egypt began to feel the famine, they cried out to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told the Egyptians, 'Go to Joseph and do what he tells you to do.'" Again, the demonstration of trust, of confidence, whatever Joseph tells you to do. What an epitaph of this man's character in Egypt. And then we're going to get another one, the next story. We're going to get the struggle of Joseph. The human struggle of life and pain and issues of forgiveness. And we see how Joseph worked through that. And God blessed him and blessed his family because of it. Fascinating, great story, and we plan to move toward that story, the first trip of Joseph's family to see him next time we're together, which will be 2 weeks from tonight, Lord willing, on May the 1st. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these great stories of the Bible. We thank you for Joseph's life, his character, his example, his faith. Lord God, help us to learn from the good and the bad, from the pretty and from the ugly. God, apply to our hearts what you want us to. May our faith be real. May, Lord, we realize the potential that we have to have influence on people around us. Help us to trust you. Help us to be a light in our world, I pray. Thank you for each person that's here tonight. I pray you'd watch over them and bless them and give them a good week, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.